You're listening to Potential Cast, Season 6, Episode 12, Double Meat Palace. When a co-worker at the fast food restaurant where she works comes up missing, Buffy begins to fear that the secret ingredient in the hamburgers is something altogether too human. That's a terrible synopsis. My name is Stephanie.
I'm Kimberly.
I'm Illyrio. Gabby will be with us later.
And I'm Chris.
Hey, Chris. Hey, Chris.
Welcome. I'm gonna steal something from Intro to X. What made you choose this episode, Chris?
I think that I was asking if there was anything left. I jokingly went and said that to. Even Double Meat Palace, if no one wants that. And I think I just found out a couple weeks ago that, hey, Double Meat Palace is coming up. Do you want it?
So. Your dreams came true.
That's fantastic.
I'm seeking out this one.
I love it when a plan comes together. So basically, Double Meat Palace is Sloppy Seconds?
Yeah, I feel like people compare it to, you know, put it up there with Beer Bad as one of the worst.
But what?
Some people, maybe not everybody.
Look, I could totally see why people would think this is a bad episode, but oh my God, I totally loved it.
Really, it is, as far as an episode, it's really good. It does what it sets out to do. You feel the paranoia and the suspense and the.
I had no suspense.
What?
I was like, this is ridiculous.
But it was a good old fashioned mystery. A monster.
No, it
mystery.
Wasn't. It was not. It was horrible. It was absolutely disgusting.
Yeah. What? Disgusting.
I hated every second of this episode.
It is a very gross episode.
Mm-hmm. Why did you hate it?
It was predictable, and it was pretty graphic and gross. And I was like, oh, the people are the meat? Is that what we're going to do? Even though it was, it came out not to be that, but I was like, oh, yeah. Okay, here we go.
Silent Meat Palace.
Yeah, it was just not. I was not a fan of it.
Really,
I hated the music when they were in the restaurant. It was just so. It felt very like I don't even want to say like Twilight Zone-ish. It was just because when they weren't in the fast food restaurant, when they weren't in the fast food restaurant, yeah, it was fine. Regular episode. As soon as they got there, I was like the And I was like, what the... It was just... I did not enjoy it.
Those musical cues were kind of like, ooh, there's something creepy going on here. Can you tell? I thought this episode was being very campy, and I really enjoyed the campiness. Now, for those of you wondering, wait a second, he likes Double Meat Palace, but he hated Gone? Yes! Mm. Yes, because our main character was actually in this one. She wasn't invisible. Mm-hmm. She was also doing, you know, what can be considered by many people the worst job, which is working fast food. Someone's mic is doing some kind of staticky thing. So if someone's playing with their headphone cable or something, get it out of your system. I think it's Steph or Kim. I think it might be Kim.
I'm not doing anything.
Well, it's definitely coming from you.
Okay, let me switch headphones. Keep talking.
Maybe spin it in the port. Sorry, didn't mean to take it there.
Okay, I'm gonna switch.
Oh. Keep talking. All right. So, basically, the idea of this episode really harkened back to me to be kind of old school season one, season two.
Yeah.
Kind of it's so bad it's good, Monster of the Week type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, it really hit me. It hit me in such a way that I really enjoyed it. I could see that it was bad, but mm-hmm. I didn't care because I was all in for this one. And I did not see the giant penis monster coming out of the wig lady's head type thing.
I didn't see that either.
So you just called it predictable.
No, I even said when I was earlier, I was like, yeah, we knew it was vegetables, but everything up to that was predictable.
Oh, you knew it was vegetables?
No. I'm saying for the whole episode, I was like, okay, they're going to say it's people. I was like, oh, Buffy's going to find something in the meat. Then they totally flipped it at the end, even though at that point I was completely out of it. And I was like, this is just getting stupider.
Hmm. I understand.
Mm-hmm.
I understand. Yeah, I've got to say, I really enjoyed it.
Hello.
Hey!
Oh my God, I'm screaming because I'm freaking out because I can't believe everything I'm hearing.
What do you mean?
This episode was fucking amazing.
I liked it.
Oh my God. But I was yelling at Kimberly and I'm hearing the words that I've heard so often is that people hate this like Beer Bad. But they're ridiculous because Beer Bad's also amazing. Wow. Anyway, so yeah. This episode was awesome.
Wow.
I liked everything that wasn't in Double Meat Palace.
Oh, there was stuff that happened that wasn't a Double Meat Palace?
Dumpster sex.
Oh, God, that was awkward. So sad. Oh, and pathetic. It was sad.
Yeah, kind of pathetic. Kind of, like, weird. I never did that on my breaks when I was working retail or anything.
Going through the motions.
Yeah, going through
next
the
to
motion.
A dumpster.
Yeah. Oh, man. That was something else. Yeah, and you know what, Gabby? I did hear you in Tammy's commentary, and Anya is the best dressed.
She is!
Always the best dressed. Oh, thumbs down to Double Meat Palace for still using styrofoam cups.
I don't know. Is the styrofoam also made of vegetables?
Most likely. A lot of what appears to be styrofoam cups in the food industry now is actually compostable material.
Monsanto, Monsanto, Monsanto.
Okay, what is sad to me, or what strikes me the most in this episode, is that she is in a no-win situation. She's either stuck working for Double Meat Palace for 5+, 10+ years, or the rest of her life. Or she's going to disappear and be eaten. You know, like, that's her options here.
No, whoa, Steph. I wouldn't.
Get out.
I mean, she can aspire to 5 or 10 years. I don't know if she's really got what it takes. You know?
I hope she doesn't.
Can I say that a lot of this episode reminded me of Office Space?
Yeah. What year was Office Space?
You're going to have to get me those TPS reports tomorrow. It was very, yeah, this is our corporate culture. Yeah. I don't know, was it 99, 2000? Same year as The Matrix, I think?
99,
Same year as The Matrix.
Oh, and that conversation that Xander and Dom have about, Dom realizes that Buffy, this is it for Buffy. She has no...
That was depressing.
That was so sad.
No prospects, man.
Mm-mm.
Like, yeah, well,
that's
I
what
can
happened
be a doctor
when you dropped out of college.
Oh. Well, she's a slayer.
Yeah, but it's not a paying job, man.
No.
Like, that's the problem.
They should all support Buffy. She's saving their lives every day. They should
Buffy,
support
Buffy needs
her.
To start a Patreon.
they should support her. And have we talked about why Anya can't give her a job at the magic shop?
Yeah. I don't know. It's weird, eh?
Very. Anyways, okay.
Well, Buffy already did try to work at the magic shop.
I thought about how
that worked out.
Yeah, I thought about that, but I wasn't quite sure if it happened or if I imagined it. I've zoned out so much.
Okay, something that I don't know how I feel. I don't know how I feel when they bring up that she waitressed in L.A. that summer.
What do you mean?
Why?
They had to bring it up because the audience would be thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, because they bring it up, then you think, well, what, how, trying to imagine how it went down with Dawn being there in the picture.
Oh, man.
Oh.
My brain hurts now. I'm going to start having a nosebleed. Just call me Faraday.
But I do like that. I like when shows leave things up to your imagination and just let you wonder about it.
That's yes. Why you like Lost so much?
At one point in time.
Yeah, so this episode starts off with one of the funniest orientation videos. I don't know if you guys had a chance to see the Wendy's grill skills video on YouTube that I posted in the Facebook group.
Is it similar?
It is hilarious. It actually starts with Dave Thomas talking about this and that and why they have the corner beef patties or the square beef patties. And then there's this little dramatization of a kid. He's going to go to the grill, but he has to learn how to grill. So he puts in the instructional VHS tape, hot loading tape, and then something, the machine catches fire, it sparks, and then he gets sucked into the machine. And then there's an African-American grilling expert rapping to him.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's embarrassing.
Yeah. Oh, it is glorious. It is absolutely glorious. So when I'm watching Buffy learning how to grill, that's all I could think about. And they flip those patties way too early. You got to wait for the juices to start bubbling up.
Does anyone actually work at a fast food place here?
No, not me.
I've never worked in fast food.
No. I was a cashier at a grocery store.
Mm. Me too.
McDonald's and Arby's.
Oh, you have? Oh.
Yes. And also what was that like? For about 6 years, also at Hershey Park. In the food service. So yeah,
that's not an amusement park where everything is made of chocolate, is it?
No. They pump chocolate through the air so you can smell it all day long, though.
Oh, nice.
Actually, the wood chips are chocolate scented. So it rains, you smell chocolate in the park.
Really?
Oh,
really.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So do you hate the smell of chocolate now?
No. I mean, you mostly smell it in the morning with all the janitorial crew hosing everything down. But no, it's still a pleasant smell. But they definitely do make you watch all those orientation videos. Not as disturbing as the cow and chicken screaming.
Chris, so you worked at McDonald's?
I was working at McDonald's when I was 14. So 14, like 15. And I thought I was going a step up and working at Arby's.
Yeah. Did you find that the eggshells of the eggs at McDonald's were super thin?
I don't think that we use actual eggs. Really? As far as that weren't already processed patties. I was more kind of in Buffy's role as far as working the cashier and then the fries. At that age, you had to be older in order to work on the grill.
My friend Jack, who now works at Viacom and lives in Manhattan, his first job was at McDonald's, and I remember him telling me, yeah, the eggs are ridiculously fragile. You break them just looking at them.
Weird.
So I guess they just bought super, super cheap, thin-shelled eggs. Regardless, did you come home smelling like grease?
Absolutely. but more so the prize that you came home smelling like. It was in your clothes, and then you had to go and have the same uniform that they only gave you so many. You had to go and wash it every night.
Yeah,
sounds like hell on earth.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I remember, this is so random, but I remember we had like career day at school. And there was a guy that came in and he was talking. He started at McDonald's when he was 14 or 15. He's like, yeah, now I'm like the regional this and that. And I drive a convertible and I make this much money. And everyone's like, wow, I want to work at McDonald's. Like, no, you don't. And the teachers were just like, I can't believe this.
guy. Wow. I just can't believe 14-year-olds work. Like here, it's getting to where you have to be 18 to work in these little part-time jobs.
Really?
Because of insurance.
Even for like a summertime thing?
Mm-hmm. Jobs are very hard to come by. But when Morgan gets her license, she's going to work in a funeral home.
Nice. Makeup or meet and greet?
Really?
Yes.
Are you making her, or she wants to?
She wants to.
Wow.
That entire page is highlighted yellow. Sorry. Watching.
Let's talk about Halfrick.
Halfrick! Halfrick! Halfrick is my new favorite character.
Halfrick and Anya together are magical.
Squee!
Oh my god, girl!
Oh, it was awesome. It was great. And then Halfrick sniffs some premarital doubt in Anya. And lets Anya talk about her doubts, which I think is what a good friend does.
Yeah, well, let's go back to like the first scene.
Yeah, because Willow planted a seed too.
Yeah, they said, yeah, would she say something about for the rest of your life? And Xander.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I was like, here we go, foreshadowing like crazy. Typical
men don't want to be tied down to the same blah, blah, blah thing, right?
But he's sort of been hinting at, like, oh, I don't know about this for a while since he proposed to her because he thought that they were all going to die. And now every episode, there's sort of a little like a, oh, okay. Oh, I guess so. Huh. That's what I got to look forward to. Okay.
That's true. That was one of those, the world is ending, let's all have sex moments. Yeah.
But this was a kind of like the look he gave and they kind of lingered on him for a second. I was like, all right. Foreshadowing, here we go.
Yeah, that's interesting. We better get a wedding episode this season.
Or at all? Or,
Oh, no, listen. If it's not going to work out, someone's going to be left at the altar.
But that's when the shows jump the shark. Or when there's babies.
Wedding episodes?
Wedding episodes and babies.
Really?
Yeah. Typically.
Interesting.
Or when you literally jump a shark. Yeah. As I understand it.
Time travel.
Convenient excuse.
Halfrick is cool. Halfrick is awesome. Xander is appropriately freaked out by Halfrick, and I'm interested to see who she brings as her plus one.
I'm surprised she didn't switch herself to like human form afterward when he was okay, because Anya could do that. Right? When she was at Sunnydale. Obviously, she wouldn't walk around like looking like that. Anyways, SOD. It doesn't mean anything.
They just wanted to show off the makeup.
Maybe it's more fun.
Yeah.
But that actress and Emma Caulfield were in Timer together. It's a cute little romantic comedy.
Mm-hmm. Was this before or after Buffy?
I think after.
Yeah, just a couple of years ago.
Cool.
Very nice. Buffy it has meat grinding duty, which I would imagine it's cheaper to just buy pre-made frozen patties, but whatever.
Then how would they grind up the bodies?
Yeah.
I'm serious. I know I said it. Do you know how sad I was that it wasn't bodies? I was hoping it was going to be like a whole Soylent Green thing going on.
Yeah.
For real?
It's for serious. I was incredibly disappointed that it wasn't Peoples.
Oh my lord.
But that would have been too
obvious, still yeah. Awesome.
Okay, what movies what movies did you think about while watching this episode? Like Soylent Green, of course.
Yeah.
And Alien.
That Twilight Zone episode, it's a cookbook.
Oh, to serve man?
Yeah, to serve man, yes.
Oh, yeah. I thought of Better Off Dead and that everybody wants some scene. With the dancing burgers and fries, taking a bath in the oil. taking a dip.
Popping off the diving board. Yeah.
As far as the Double Meat Palace itself, it kind of reminded me of movies. From Dogma. Yes. And also James Bob Strike Back.
Yes. Movies. That's hilarious.
Yeah, I guess Soylent Green a little bit when Buffy has a little freak out. Mostly, I don't know why, it reminded me of... I always forget the name of this movie. Emilio Estevez, Stephen King.
Maximum Overdrive.
Maximum Overdrive. Because there's a scene where like this electric carving knife goes crazy and cuts off someone's finger, I think. And when Buffy found that... By the way, what the hell is Buffy doing touching the ground beef that's on the floor? Yeah. What was she going to do with that ground beef had she not found the finger? Put it back in the tray?
Yeah. Look what I found on underneath
Don't
the grinder.
Touch the stuff on the floor.
Why are you looking underneath it?
And if they have a grinder that size, they're going to have some kind of loose floor thing with a grate so they can just let that stuff pour down.
But why would they have it on the floor? Like wouldn't it be on the counter?
Exactly. Agreed.
Come on.
So many code violations.
Yeah.
We're not also why would Buffy have to go and cover up? She was just doing a practical joke if they had a finger there.
Yeah.
SOG.
Yes.
It's weird.
This episode is just too ridiculous.
Dawn is now taller and has larger breasts than Buffy.
She does?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And she's wearing a kitten shirt because that's how you know she's a kid. stealing Gabby and Tammy's thunder there. But Dawn is I don't know. I think she's is she stripping on the side? Was that my theory last time? Oh, he's stripping on the side. This is terrible. Terrible, terrible job. We have to analyze this burger thing. Pretty funny.
And Spike comes by. Yeah. And he and Buffy had to have the same conversation about, ooh, leave me alone, but you came back wrong, and you can hurt me, and I don't know why, but I'm
not kind of hitting, like, make sure you don't forget, there's this thing with Buffy.
She's going through some stuff still. Oh,
that bitch Amy made Willow smoke magic crack.
That's low down.
That was a bit for me. Like, I was like, why is she doing this? Like, this is so ridiculous. And then later on, I was like, oh, is it payback for the rat? Because she said something, like, to that extent.
She said something like, well, I'm not going to quote it directly, but
yeah.
She was very resentful at how long it took Willow to figure out how to bring her back.
Yeah.
That's dumb.
That's why I was like, oh, maybe that's why she did it. That's why she wants her to suffer.
Army also payback. Thought that maybe Rack had sent... Amy.
Sorry, say that again. I missed that.
Army also thought that maybe Rack had sent Amy to go and give her a dose of the back.
And even if Rack didn't, Amy was probably mad because she didn't have a companion to go to Rack's anymore.
Right.
Amy's just a bitch.
Terrible.
Yeah. She's kind of a bitch pre-rat and post-rat. Still bitchy.
She has displaced anger issues.
She's been gone for 3 years.
Yeah. So Buffy investigates the Double Meat Palace at night and discovers the evil wig lady.
Okay, can I tell you what Marty Noxon said about this?
Oh, yes,
please.
Marty Noxon said the following about the episode Double Meat Palace. One of the craziest episodes we've ever done. It's just insane. And the monster looks like a penis. We know that. Talk about the academic papers that are going to be written about that one. The castration fantasy made large. We were like, oh my God, it looks like a giant penis. What are we going to do? We had to paint it. Because originally it was penis colored.
Of course it was.
It wasn't even a metaphor. It was just a big giant penis. So we painted it brown. And it looked like a brown penis. We kind of went with it because the whole episode was so crazy. It was so weird. I personally really liked it. I just think it's really out there. Again, it was just an attempt to have a little fun in a crazy season. It just got broke. Though it was just a weird off-kilter Coen Brothers kind of episode.
Because there's a meat grinder instead of a wood chipper. Come on, that's not a Coen Brothers episode. And I think there's a rug that ties the room together in the next episode, but I'm going to hold off on that one.
I got more trivia. Okay, double meat offer. In Smashed, Amy watches an ad on TV for the fast food restaurant Double Meat Palace. Now you get 2 double meat medleys for the price of 1. Buffy ends up working at the Double Meat Palace 3 episodes later.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay, back to Jonathan. Like in the first scene, maybe Glutton for Punishment. In Double Meat Palace, Xander says, I thought Jonathan completely learned his lesson. He's referring to the events of Superstar in which Jonathan created a spell to be everyone's ideal. That spell went horribly wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, like nobody remembers who Andrew. Nobody knows who Andrew
Piper's brother.
Is.
Yeah. That's pretty sad for him. So Willow uses chemistry and patience to figure out that, wait a minute, the double meat medley isn't people.
It's vegetables.
Vegetables.
How ironic.
Well, they had to go completely 180 because it would be like, oh, they're trying to say like fast food is death. It's so horrible. It's so bad for you. And they're like, you know what? It's vegetables. Like,
it's good.
Vegetables as the special ingredient. It's still rendered meat fat and stuff. It's not vegetarian, you know?
It's disgusting.
I'd have one.
Well, this is funny.
I haven't eaten meat since March 5th.
I haven't had any meat in a year and almost a month.
Awesome. You poor thing.
Yeah. Joss Whedon said at behind the scenes of Buffy the Vampire Slayer at the Academy of Television Arts and Sciences in June 2002 that Double Meat Palace was unpopular with Buffy sponsors who felt it was making fun of their businesses. Some sponsors even pulled out of the show because of the episode.
Really?
Gutless.
Is it that whole corporate culture parody thing?
Yeah. Making it look. Shining a negative light on.
So Buffy's carrying a severed foot around. And discovers the penis monster-headed old lady. And, yeah.
So, and then Willow comes up because she has to, you know, she's trying to tell Buffy that the hamburger is vegetables and she saves the day. But before she comes in, she's like trying to confess to Buffy through the drive-thru.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of cute. But it's, okay, here this trivia says, in a recurring motif throughout the season, the friendship between Buffy and Willow is hampered by circumstances preventing them from confiding in each other. In Smashed, a serious conversation was interrupted by Amy's intrusion. The disturbing element for this episode was the wig lady demon that was eating while Buffy and Willow were talking through the drive-thru microphone.
Yeah.
The wig lady was paralyzing Buffy is what was going on. Mm-hmm. Willow doesn't try again to talk to Buffy about what Amy did to her.
True. Yeah, so that giant penis monster coming out of her head sprays something right at Buffy. Buffy, Spike's penis is going to ruin your life. It's going to paralyze you.
Yeah.
Oh, Sarah Michelle Gellar was sued by McDonald's at the age of 4. She appeared in a Burger King advert where she said, "Do I look 20% smaller to you? I must have a McDonald's. I must have it at McDonald's because I must have at McDonald's because their hamburgers are 20% smaller than Burger King's." It was the first time a company used another company's name in an advert, so McDonald's sued Burger King, the advertising agency, and Sarah herself.
A 4-year-old. Come on.
Mm-hmm. Hey, man, litigation.
Yeah.
Freedom isn't free.
Yeah, you should read about the coffee lawsuit.
Heavy fucking free. What's that?
You know, the lady that sued McDonald's because she spilled coffee in her lap.
Oh.
That's why
they didn't tell her it was hot.
Caution, content's hot.
Yeah.
I asked the store, why does my underwear have to say this? And they said, we have to cover all our bases, sir. I said, okay.
But see, when you sue somebody, there's a gag order in your... In the lawsuit, you can't say anything, but that company can say anything they want to or insinuate anything they want to about you.
Yeah,
it's price you pay for filing the lawsuit, right?
Craziness. So I'm really worried about Buffy's shoulder. Is anyone else really worried about Buffy's shoulder? Because it was like bleeding through the denim.
Yeah, it was pretty chewed
I
up
guess
pretty badly.
She's a Slayer and she heals fast, but boy, I was like, wait a second, she hasn't taken some I'm sorry, yeah, I'm watching it now, and she practically had an O face on while the thing was biting her. Oh, seriously,
that's one of the most disturbing gnawings I have ever seen on Buffy. You can tolerate a lot more vamp bites than that penis head gnawing on her shoulder.
Hey, I just noticed the lesbian murders the penis in the meat grinder. Good for you, lesbian character.
Another sign. Men are bad.
It's the best, I must say. This episode was so stupid and so hilarious and so... it was great. I couldn't see the bad guy was, what the monster was. It was awesome.
It reminded me of Bad Eggs.
Bad Eggs, really?
Mm-hmm.
This is more on the, I don't know.
Beer Bad.
Ted.
I don't know. Something I think if I had watched these three episodes, the two before, the one before this one, and the one after, I don't know if I'd continue.
Really?
Yeah. Aww. No, I know. The next one.
I'm going to reserve my views of the next episode for our next episode.
No.
Because I have some very important views on it.
Not the next one. The next one got me, like, physically angry.
I understand.
But anyway.
But let's wait.
We'll save
we get
it.
To
we'll save it for that. But this episode, I just thought was so like it was. It turned my stomach. It was. I don't know if it was supposed to. Maybe it was. Mm-hmm. But it made me gag. I was like, why am I watching this? This is. If I was younger, watching this when Buffy was on, this probably episode I wouldn't have watched it all the way through to the end because it
really
made me sick.
Really?
Yes. It made me. It turned my skin. It was repulsive. That's a good word. It was.
I did not have that reaction one bit.
Disgusting.
I did not find any of this repulsive.
Oh, I just hated every second of it. Maybe it's because of the way that they showed the food and how the character was just in like this zombie like state of like, oh, when we eat the food, we're gonna look like this, and I kind of was chuckling to myself because the first person that they showed ordering food was this overweight guy who had this tray full of food, And then, you know, the little old lady shows up with her cherry pie and her small coffee and then the family of four. But I was like, oh, this is just too much for me.
Hmm.
Yuck.
Oh, there's something else I want to talk about. Halfrick. This actress played Cecily in Foo for Love. You remember in Spike's flashback?
You're beneath me.
What?
You're beneath me.
Oh, yes. Cecily. William the Bloody was writing the poetry about her.
Oh!
She turned him down. Oh. She said that he was beneath her.
Oh, interesting.
So she was Spike's first love interest.
And see, I guess that they decided to keep it the same person. Like, it is supposed to be the same character.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Right, Chris?
There is actually a comic that will go, that actually goes into some of that background, that does emphasize that they are the same character.
Hmm. Oh, that does make sense.
It's not just recycling an actress that they like to work with.
Well, this isn't The X-Files.
Oh!
Although Buffy has done that before.
Yeah.
Like, what, Rack?
Can I just say how disappointed I am that Buffy didn't outright extort Double Meat Palace for money?
Yeah, I'm with you there as well.
I can keep your secret for the right amount of British pounds!
She's just by the book. Everything's honest. I want to earn my money.
Really? Extortion is so much more fun.
Yep.
All right, let's, we need to stay on schedule. So let's get the feedback.
Feedback time or more points?
I have no points about this episode.
Whoa.
Let's do some audio feedback, shall we?
Horrible.
Sure.
Please.
Here's a bit of audio feedback from Rob.
G'day, Gex. I'm Rob from Ganella Bar in Australia.
Hello.
It's worked out what the Double Meat Palace torture is all about. You will notice that the monster in this episode has a large phallic object that thrusts out of Buffy. The only interesting thing about this is that the thrusting is not coming from lower down. Instead, it comes from on top of her head. So this makes me think that the underlying message for the show is that in retail, at least one of the workers in the shop is likely to be an annoying dickhead. Possibly the play of my nipples. Cheers.
What? Well, Rob, I wish you a very positive nipple playing time. Thank you for the audio message.
Amazing.
And here's audio voicemail from Paul Mackey. I think he's drunk.
Hey, potential cast. Paul Mackey. You know, actually, technically, another drunk dial. It really wasn't planned. The last one for Gone was planned, more or less. I mean, it was the right weekend, and there was a thing going on. You guys haven't actually recorded very many episodes this summer, have you? But Double Meat Palace. You know, the latest in a long line of snake monsters. There was the Lurkonis, and there was the Glorious Snake Monster, and I'm sure there was another one that I'm missing, but this is the latest snake monster. Comes out of the old lady's head. And it's a, you know, fairly large, snaky monster that sprays Buffy in the face. Not sure really what's going on there. You know, seems like something maybe, but not sure what to say about that. But anyways, hauling stuff back to the car after a decent day at the winery, the local winery. But anyways, I might have another call that's more coherent, but who knows? It's hard to plan these things. Maybe I'll call you in about dead things tonight when I'm at work later on. Sobered up and all that. I'll talk to you later.
Bye bye. Bye, Paul Mackey.
Amazing.
Bob DeGrand sent us an email.
Hey.
Yay, Bob.
Hi, Gax and guest victim. This, more than any other episode, was where I was convinced that something was seriously off the rails with Buffy. When a writer as talented as Jane Espenson can come up with something as bad and especially as unfunny as this, something is seriously wrong. It is easy to picture Joss Whedon looking at this script, shaking his head and saying, "You can do better," and then taking a better revised script and punching it up with some good lines. There are episodes I like less than this, but I can't think of many that have fewer saving graces, but the only thing I like is Halfrek showing up. The penis monster would have been embarrassing even in season one. I pointed out that the Buffy Phenomenon website listed Once More with Feeling and Tabula Rasa as the best two consecutive episodes. The fans also voted for Gone and Double Meat Palace as the worst two consecutive episodes of the series. It does get better. Hang in there. There are people I respect that consider six their favorite season. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you,
Bruce.
I trust you, Bob. You have a good track record.
Bruce says, Double Meat Palace, 7 out of 10. I like the satire and the bleak humor of Buffy's workplace point of view. Monster of the Week gets about 3 minutes screen time at the end, so it isn't important, except for who killed it. Will Pastor Cruciamentum, Crucible, I think, is what you mean. Even if Buffy did get a little bit bit. Amy's back again. You remember Amy, the girl Xander blackmailed in 11th grade, the girl who turned herself into a rat because Joyce Summers and Sheila Rosenberg were burning her alive? Why do we all assume that Amy is going to treat the gang as friends? I'm hearing someone clank, clank, clanking, by the way.
Sorry.
No worries. We saw an episode where the characters couldn't see what was right in front of them, followed by this one where a character only sees what she expects to see. There's a coincidence, huh? No, it isn't. Getting the most from this show is definitely a process. Bon appetit, Bruce. Thank you, Bruce.
Bruce.
I'm going to read Fry's. Fry Fronsworth?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Hello, Gax, and the luckiest guest in the history of potential cast. You just saw my personal favorite episode, not just of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, but of all of television. What is wrong with you?
Seriously?
This show has been emotional before, but wow, this is beyond anything I could have ever imagined. There's nothing really to say but 10 out of 10.
Joke, that person's joking.
Fry Farnsworth. That's...
I hope your name is not a joke, by the way, Fry. I think your name is fantastic. Last email on DMP from Missy Poole. Hi, Gax. Buffy has a cow and chicken on her hat. And a job. Way to go, Buff. I like the grease guy. I find him intriguing. Sex at work? Have you stooped that low, Buffy? Ick. Allie! She's kind of funny and judgy. Amy is a bitka. Why would you do that to poor Willow? It's hard enough for her as it is without you taking control away from her. Urgh. Just take your stupid cage, stupid. Xander is amazing. Cat burgers, Gary burgers, putting his foot in his mouth when it comes to Anya's friends. Willow came clean about her accidental magic use and told Amy to piss off for good. Right, the mystery. It's vegetables, and that old lady has a giant penis under her wig. From Simone.
Thank you, Missy.
Thank you, Missy Simone. Yay. How much Facebook feedback do we have? Too much or just enough?
Just enough.
All right, go.
Robin says, Tom Mackey says, keep your special sauce off my meat process. T.O. says, this episode always gets me hungry. Well, at first, I didn't like the episode, but now I think it's really fun. I think it's really a funny one. I find so much fun. I find so fun all the Double Meat Palace stuff and the twist at the end. Dylan says, I got a few quick points for this one. Xander's face looks like he just chewed on a stale bit of popcorn. Wait a minute, something's not right here. Oh my, OMFG, Buffy is eating a burger. Actual food is being eaten, lots of it. WTF is wrong with this. These people, don't they know what the rules are? What row is Buffy not supposed to eat?
Well, no, he's the one who keeps complaining about on TV, any food that's made is never eaten.
Oh.
Especially on this show.
Oh. Well, at least Buffy's lipstick matches her uniform, right? Yeah, the makeup was just different on this episode. And callback. I got the distinctive feeling that Buffy is suffering from a form of Slayer PTSD. She's looking for evidence of shenanigans the moment she walks in that place. Teamwork indeed. Also, Amy's a dick. Man, I hope they thoroughly wash that grinder afterwards.
Waka waka waka.
Do they even use grinders in burger places? Don't they just get patties already frozen and stuff? Yes. Okay, finally, to the meat of the matter. There seems to be a widespread opinion that this is among the worst episodes of the show, usually uttered along the likes of Beer Bad and Ted, but personally, I never hated it, nor those other two. I believe I mentioned before something along the lines of, I like to see my heroes fall down every once in a while, and working at a fast food joint is pretty low by a lot of people's standards, with the utmost respect for those who have worked in such places, of course. So let's see how much hate this one gets on here. Also, since we're at it, who here has worked in fast food industry, and how similar was your experience? Sans teeth, worm head, old lady. Somebody go.
Rachel says, lesbian defeats and kills little old lady penis demon. Hooray! Out of all the controversial things the show has done, this episode's portrayal of the fast food industry marks the first time that advertisers threatened to pull their sponsorship. I guess Icky Meat both wins and loses with this episode. Another Rachel says, penis monster shoots white fluid. Ha! It's funny because it's true. Not a funny episode. It's Burger Bad. I like that title, Burger Bad. Carol says,
you missed your first part. Burger jobs will kill you.
Pardon?
Did you miss the first line?
Oh, yeah, because it's up at top. Burger jobs will kill you, she says. I read that wrong.
Burger jobs will kill you.
Carol Swift says, I've heard people say all kinds of things about this one, including that Buffy could have gotten a better job and that they simply did not understand the point of the episode. As to the first point, I think many of us have been in a financial situation where taking the most available job that will get us a paycheck fast seems the best short-term option, no matter what other skills we have. And Buffy did try some other things that didn't work out for her. The point of the episode always seemed to me to be turning the American dream on its head. Buffy is now living the American nightmare. Jane Espenson always swings for the fences, which means if she misses, she will probably miss big. Many people consider this a huge miss, but I think it has things going for it, other than the penis monster and the idea of ground-up humans. There's nothing wrong with ground-up humans in a show about vampires and stuff. There's nothing wrong about ground-up humans. Not at all. This is a staple. This is a trope of this kind of show. Okay, the genre shows have always had, cannibalism, right? And you have the vampires eating people. You have vampires using kittens as poker chips. There's nothing wrong with ground-up humans. And penis monsters, you see what you want to see, really.
Mm-hmm.
Val says, unfortunately, one of the first things I think of when DMP is mentioned is the dumpster sex. Ugh. No one mentioned that yet here. Oh, yeah, that's right. Sorry. We all have been trying to forget about that moment. This and Gone are the worst back-to-back episodes for me so far. Ooh, foreshadowing, Val. Opinion spoiler, Val. And that's saying a lot for those early episodes. Definitely my least favorite from Espenson. Jane, what happened? Again, this is another crappy episode that gets skipped. At least I know it now will thankfully get better. Opinion spoilers, of course. And despite my ragging on these last two episodes, I truly do love season 6. It's the first season I'd seen, and it's what made me want to say, yeah, I want to watch the rest of this series. I hate Amy for zapping Willow with magics. F you, Amy!
but love
that later Willow basically told her to take her formerly ratty ass and get lost. Hopefully I remember this correctly, and that's what happened, because hell no, I'm not watching this episode. Oh, crap, I just realized Gabby and Tammy did a commentary. Okay, You two owe me now. Oh, wait. Now I found out we can hear the episode audio, which means I don't have to watch. Thanks for having mercy on some of us DMP dislikers, Gabby. 1 out of 10 cherry pie loving penis headed old ladies. You stole my rating system, you bitka. No, I have a different rating system. Last one I'm going to read. Michael Shannon. Dylan, I worked in McDonald's when I was 16, and the orientation video is spot on. Someone read Ray's, please.
Ray, here we go. Ray, I hate this episode. I think it's so much worse than the fun gone. It feels like a throwback to the crappy monsters of the week that I hated in the first two seasons. And Dumpster Stacks is very disturbing. I love the show. I love how the show built to Buffy and Spike in season 5, that I'm actually kind of rooting for them to get together. But the way it's played out makes me hate it. This is probably one of my bottom 5 episodes for the whole series. Matthew says, I actually think this episode is a really important step in the progression of Buffy's story in season 6. There's a realization that she actually does need to be doing something in support of her family. And yes, Dawn is her family. There's the conversation with Tara that makes what she's doing with Spike even more reprehensible/ambiguous. And Buffy also realizes that she needs to keep going on as the Slayer. Edit. Oops. That Tara thing is actually from next episode. That's what I thought. I kept reading. I was like, oh, okay. Anyways, good thing you're recording that episode the same night. Yeah, good thing we are. And then Illyria posted the Wendy's video.
It's actually the long version, so please be patient through the really boring first bit. It does get to an African-American rapping about making burgers on the grill.
Paul Mackey writes, my fast food experience was mainly Taco Bell and Schlotzky's. Not really a fast food, but it had a drive-thru. I also had a summer at the Cookie Company and a summer at an independent called Chicken Stampede.
Based out of Calgary?
Howdy. Howdy, man. Would you like to try some chicken? Oh, my God. That's hilarious. Rachel says, Val, you can listen to the commentary without watching. You can hear enough dialogue in the background. Lifesaver. Val's like, that's brilliant. I don't have to relive Double Meat Penis. I mean, Palace. FYI, my fast food experience was working at Nathan's when I was 16. I always left there smelling of hot dogs, fries, and that general fast food smell. And I suppose there are worse things to smell like because, fries. But I couldn't wait to take a shower and get the oily mess off me. It felt like I had a sheen of oil on me. So gross. Dylan, still better than leaving work smelling like cigarette, which stays on your clothes for weeks, from my chain smoking boss.
Can I just say that your boss is the worst? And
I hate.
As someone who is a former smoker, nothing bothers me more than the smell of cigarettes now. Mm-hmm. And I can't believe I inflicted that on people.
Yeah.
It's the worst.
We were talking about that on the weekend, the about how you go to like a bar or a club and everyone was smoking, and then you come home and yet it was in your hair. It was like, mm-hmm. in everything. And now, yeah. I was joking because like if I walk out of a building and someone's smoking too close to the entrance, I turn to my mother. I'm like, I can't breathe. I used to get so embarrassed when my mother would do that. No, that's me.
Anyways. Yeah, it's funny that we used to live in a culture where people smoked on airplanes, in movie theaters. They smoked everywhere, and we were just used to it. And now, if we smell somebody that smells like cigarette smoke, ugh.
Yeah, terrible.
I see people in the park where I run wearing athletic-looking clothing and running shoes, walking around smoking cigarettes.
Oh, let me tell you, when I was young,
while walking the dogs, and I want to kick them.
When I went to aerobics class with my mother when I was a teenager, there was a man who would take a break during aerobics class and go outside and smoke. Oh my God, you know how dangerous that is.
During the class?
Yes, I cannot believe he didn't drop dead of a heart attack.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Funny.
Amazing.
Robin says, I must say a lot of you are pretty brutal to season 6. There are some pretty low points, but none of it is unwatchable. It's not a total train wreck. Bob says, The stretch of episodes I have no interest in ever watching again started with Smashed and hasn't ended yet. And Elisa Moretti, while this is, by the way, awesome name. And Elisa Moretti says, while this episode is objectively kind of bad, I remember sort of enjoying it when it aired because at least it was different than all these sexcapades and bad drug metaphors. Well, we still had some sexcapades and bad drug metaphors, though.
Mm-hmm. I think what's so upsetting for me watching this, and I can't speak, it's just that we've seen so many good episodes. I think I've said this before, but watching like episode like Gone and this one, it's like,
yeah.
Oh man.
Well, if Damon Lindelof hadn't agreed to wait.
Yeah.
Never mind.
You know, I can appreciate because like who said that in the Rob? Oh, my God. I can't believe I'm saying this. I'm agreeing with Robin, where I was like, they're not unwatchable. It's like I'm watching it, but I'm disappointed because I'm like, I'm like, you're better than this.
That's how I felt about Gone.
Yeah.
But this episode I thought was way too much fun. For some reason, it just hit me the right way.
Maybe I don't know. Maybe it was the mood I was in watching it.
Maybe. Julia says, I still think the council should pay Buffy. They shouldn't want her to have to work crappy jobs, especially if she has to work nights. She should be slaying at night. And clearly, I'm focusing on my issues with the council, so I don't have to think about this episode. Grant says, I think I only hate Some Assembly Required more than this episode. Interesting. Taryn says, I completely love this episode. Not as brilliant as Beer Bad, but still totally fun. And the old lady being the monster, I didn't see that one coming the first time I watched this. I love how it started off as a slam on fast food restaurants, but then turned that on its head. Good work, uh-huh. Janice Benson. Rich says, season one reject. Aw, Rich. Aww. That's nasty. Jason adds, the important question is, who won the lottery for guest hosting? I'd hate for there to be another tragedy like what happened with Gone. And then Kimberly says, this episode is effing disgusting. I hate it, and I'm about 20 minutes into it. Tell us how you really feel, Kim. Yep. And then you say, WTF just crawled out of her head. This is effing ridiculous. by the way, Kim, it's been a couple years since your patented unacceptable.
I know,
it would have been a really good time for that to come back.
It would have been.
Bob asks you, you don't like the penis monster? Ray says, Kim, it is so terrible. When everyone was trashing Gone, I was just thinking to myself how much worse Double Meat Palace is, but couldn't say anything. Ashley adds, I actually enjoy this episode. It's cheesy and ridiculous, although it's not as awesome as Beer Bad. It's a constant reminder to never apply to fast food, no matter the desperation. I've known people who worked at fast food, and I truly believe that each day your soul, what's a soul, slowly evaporates. Or evaporates. Now that I'm over being dramatic, Amy is such a witch. No means no. She doesn't want the drugs. I mean, magic. Nothing like good old peer pressure, I guess. Although Willow telling her to stay away reminded me of when she told Giles not to piss her off and found myself quite giddy. Anyanka and Halfrek together was awesome and Anyanka. Funny. And everyone has that friend who tries to put doubts in your relationship that they have no idea what your relationship is real. Wait a second. No. The doubts are Anya's. They're not Halfrek's. Halfrek is asking honest questions and allowing Anya to project these doubts onto Halfrek, but in fact, they are Anya's doubts. This is perfectly okay.
Kind of. She's kind of baiting her.
No, but then, if Anya's okay, then she would just say, he's awesome. It's really great. I find it really awesome.
Yeah.
And leave it at that.
But she's like, how do you feel?
Yeah. Well, how do you feel?
Correcting you.
So he's correcting you.
And how does that make you feel?
How does that make you feel? Exactly. Ooh, dumpster sex is very unsanitary, but I'm sure sex with the undead is as well. Hold on. I'm sure Spike cleans himself very well.
Yeah, sure he does.
You know, does he have running water in that crypt?
He doesn't need running water.
Not
that's
good.
Too funny.
Again, not a great episode, but it's fun and not to be taken seriously. I give it 7 out of 10. Veiny faces. Ashley. Val says, preach it, Kimberly Fowler!
That's right.
Testify. Thanks for feedback, everyone. Feedback can be sent to us at What? What is it?
Redemption. No, potential cast at gmail.com.
Wah. You can follow us on the Twitter at PotentialCast. You can go to the Facebook group, facebook.com/group/PotentialCast. You can go to PotentialCast.com for very sparse show notes. We also put direct download links there. And we also, I embed the Google Hangout there. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Is anyone watching us at all? We have, last check, I think we had 14 viewers. We have 12 viewers. Guys. Hello, viewers! Hey!
Hey. Sorry, viewers.
No, don't apologize. We're great. So here's what you're going to do, everyone. If you subscribe to us in iTunes, this is what you're going to do. Unsubscribe tonight.
Why?
And then subscribe again tomorrow.
Why?
Because I found out that the algorithm that the iTunes store uses to see how popular you are is not based on long-term, but short-term impact. So, if everyone unsubscribes tonight, and please remember to resubscribe tomorrow, we're going to be golden. Also, write us a review. And you can give us as many stars as you like.
Well, what if they unsubscribe tomorrow and subscribe again tomorrow? Does it have to be overnight?
I don't know. I think if everyone subscribes on the same day, then it's okay. It's all good. Listen, you don't have to buck the system if you don't want to. I'm just saying, if you want to unsubscribe and resubscribe, it might help promote us again. Just tell your friends. There's this awesome podcast. It's free. It's about this really awesome show. And
but don't listen to the latest ones because they shit all over it. And it's very depressing.
Are you describing Intro to X?
Oh.
What?
It's a shame because I like the show.
Intro to X is awesome. It's one of my favorite podcasts. I love it. Shall we rate?
Why not?
Chris, what do you think?
Well, I can honestly say that there's parts that were spot on with the fast food industry. I make it a little bit more creepy that way. Orientation video gave it a few notches. I think the overall tone of the zombified staff kind of raised it up a little bit more, making it a little bit more creepy, as well as just the general overall unsettlingness of when she's in the Double Meat Palace just makes the episode a little bit more tense. So I think that gives it at least a 7 out of 10 fluorescent lights of death.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fun. It's a good, I think it does what it sets out to do. It's successful. But I mean, it is a repulsive premise. Mm-hmm. It is gross. So, I mean, I can't score it too low. I mean, I got to give it 8 out of 10.
Ooh.
8 out of 10. What did I say? Oh, dead end jobs.
Wow.
Well, I didn't like it, and I don't think I was supposed to like it, so they probably did the job that they set out to do. It just completely turned my stomach. But everything that wasn't in the restaurant was fine, and I enjoyed it. And I think the stuff with with Willow, with her hand shaking and jittering and going through withdrawal systems is a little over the top, but again, this is an episode where, you know, that was the least over the top thing. So, I wasn't a fan of it, but everything outside of it was okay. And Willow, I think, you know, big things that we were supposed to be like, oh yeah, Willow killed the demon without using magic, which is a step in the right direction for her. And she stuck up to Amy. And so I give it 5 middle fingers in the meat grinder.
Wow.
Out of 10.
I had so much fun watching this episode. It was so bad. It was awesome. It was great. It was cheesy. It was fantastic. I'm going to give it 8 out of 10, 2 all beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun.
Oh, man.
It's a lot of calories.
It's 540 calories.
He'll run it off in a kilometer.
If only.
It was a breath of fresh air. This was a delightful romp. This goes up there in the books, up there with Beer Bad, with Band Candy. It was ridiculous. And the only reason why it's losing points is because it wasn't people. So because I'm crazy like that. Hannibal is one of my favorite shows. Why not eat some people? So I'm going to give this 9 out of 10 cat burgers.
Woo! Cat burgers.
Cat burgers.
Uh-huh. Ooh, Artie agrees. That's great. Oh, forgot to mention, folks, you want to give us a call, 270-440-BUFFY, and we love to get your voicemails. Paul Mackey, you don't have to be drunk to call, but it doesn't hurt. You might be more entertaining than you think with a little bit of liquid courage. I think it's time to quote, is it not?
Sure.
Let's allow our brave guest to go first. Chris, what is your quote?
All right, there's the interaction between Manny and Buffy. Manny, interesting, isn't it? Buffy, oh yes, like how the cow and the chicken come together even though they've never met. Like this in Seattle, if Meg and Tom were, like, minced.
Awesome. Next!
Hey, and they had other stuff, you know, razor scooters and pictures of the Vulcan women on Enterprise. Ooh, I mean, nerds.
What about the cherry pie?
Hello, I am here to tear this man apart. How many pieces do you wish?
Hey! Standing right here, standing right exactly here.
Well, nice.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yay.
Why do Willa and Anya even stand each? I mean, they don't like each other.
Well, they don't hate each other. It's not like they have some kind of grudge.
Yeah, it's Xander rivalry.
Oh, really? I think you have to have a redeeming quality to be at the center of a rivalry.
Oh. Ooh.
Large upper arms. Okay. That should have been my rating system. Damn it!
I have a Spike quote. Oh, yeah, yes. And you chose to be in the consumer service profession, and I'm a consumer. Service me.
Service me. Service me, bit. Service me. Yep, yep. Darn right. Any other quotes?
Cheeky bugger.
Cheeky bugger. Yeah. Chris, thank you for joining us.
I'm sorry.
Is there anything you'd like to promote on our show?
Nothing to promote.
Well, thank you, Chris. Very much so. You're a trooper and a good sport. Thank you for being our guest during this episode. Stephanie, what is on the slate for next time?
Next time is Dead Things.
Dead Things. Ooh, sounds scary. I predict we will record this in a few minutes. Chris, you sticking around or do we have another guest, Steph?
Kelly Jo.
Awesome. Ah. So I'm just going to let all the YouTube viewers know that I'm going to stop the broadcast and start a new one and post the link for that over in the Facebook group as I did for this one. And Chris, thank you. Everyone, bye!
Bye!
Yes, bye! Namaste.
Okay, stop. Cool.
want me to beat her, so I mixed up the batteries. She left the beater. I scream, you scream, and I'll scream for her. Don't even talk, cause I can't ignore her. She's my cherry pie. Cool drink of water, such a sweet surprise. Tastes so good, make a grown man cry. Sweet cherry pie. Oh yeah. She's my cherry pie. Put a smile on your face, 10 miles wide. Looks so good, bring a tear to your eye. Swing it to guitar, swing it to the bass in the back of my car. Ain't got money, ain't got no gas, but we get where we're going if we swing real fast. I'll scream, you'll scream, and I'll scream for her. Don't even talk, cause you can't ignore her. She's my cherry pie. Cool drink of water, such a sweet surprise. Tastes so good, make a grown man cry. Sweet cherry pie. Oh yeah. She's my cherry pie. Put a smile on your face. My daughter no more.